For us, take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 53. We've been going through the book of chapter 53 of Isaiah, looking at Isaiah's prophecies about the crucifixion. And today we're going to be looking at verse 7 of Isaiah 53. And the title of the sermon this morning is The Silent Savior. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7. But before we read God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to open your Word. Father, we ask that we see the truth in it, that we believe the truth in it. And Father, the truth will set us free and change our lives. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have full reign here today. I pray that there's someone that does not know you as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, I pray that we would tell the story of Easter, Lord, and not the Easter Bunny. And Father, that we would see this as redemption of mankind, not a commercial activity. Lord, I just ask that you just help us, Lord, to leave here changed. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It says, He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This month we've been going through Isaiah chapter 53, and we see Isaiah as he continues developing details about redemption through Jesus Christ. In verse 3, we saw him as the man of sorrows, the despised one. In verse 4, we saw him as the smitten redeemer carrying our sorrows. In verse 5, we saw him as the wounded one. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He brings us peace. We see here in verse 6 last Sunday that he's bringing back the strays. He's the one that carries the sins of the strained sheep. Now he talks about his character at this time. And there's two things that we can see in this passage, in this verse, about the character of Jesus. His discipline under oppression. There's a lot of oppression in the world today, and we need to be disciplined to endure it. This morning we were talking to the youth and talking about patience. And patience will allow you to get through trial because you've decided that you're going to do this. And the second part of this is that you need to have a determination. Christ was determined under the pressure of the cross. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, another prophecy about Christ, it says, For the Lord God will help me. God Jehovah will help God the Son. Therefore shall I, Jesus, shall not be confounded. Christ is going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. And if you let him in your life, he'll cure you. He'll heal you. He'll redeem you. He'll save you. He'll give you grace. He'll give you mercy. He'll help you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint. Now, when we went through the book of John, and we talked about Christ coming to Jerusalem the last time, the disciples said, Hey, you need to understand they're trying to kill you. And up to this point, Christ had been saying, My hour is not yet. And he kept on escaping out of trap and out of trap after trap again that the Pharisees were setting. He says, Now my hour has come. It's time to do this. And he has set his face like a flint. Nothing was going to change it against to Jerusalem. And he says, I know that I shall not be ashamed. You'll never be ashamed if you follow the salvation of God. You'll never be ashamed. So we see here as Isaiah continues developing the details of redemption, we see the character of Christ, his discipline under opposition, and his determination under the pressure of the cross. And then through this message this morning, we will see that the silence of Christ proclaims his strength. Proclaims his strength through oppression. Proclaims his strength through affliction. Proclaims his strength through God's judgment on him. You know, we need to think as the psalmist did about waiting on God. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." There's three things in this verse that we need to understand how Christ was silent. First of all, Christ was silent when he was oppressed. He was arrested, though innocent. We hear a lot about people being arrested and they're innocent. They're thrown in jail by this. Christ truly was that. He was sold by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. You know something? That was prophesied by the same Zechariah. He was betrayed by a kiss. Proverbs talks about the enemy kisses me. But we need to understand about Christ, how he was taken in the evening. And if Peter had a sword, he tried to stop him. He was a fisherman, not a swordsman. He didn't do much good. Just lopped off a guy's ear, which Christ healed. But Christ said this in verse 56 of Matthew chapter 26. He says, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" He had set his face like a flint. He knew what was coming. He's the one that told Isaiah what was going to happen. And he was arrested, though innocent. He was falsely accused, but he held his peace after they took him in the garden. And we're going to use this as an illustration of the entire crucifixion story. He was taken to the house of the Caiaphas, the high priest, in the early morning. This is Friday morning. And they tried to get people all lined up to be his accusers. And you know, you can't get your story straight. You know, anyone who works with kids or teaches kids understands a kid will lie. And even they will be in collusion with each other, and they'll try to get their... They'll have this consistent story, but then it'll always unravel. You know why? Because it's not truth. It's not truth. But in Matthew 26, 60, it says, "But found none." Talking about false witnesses. They try to find someone to say something against Christ. It says, "Though many false witnesses came, yet found they what? None." You can't speak against the truth. Christ didn't have to defend himself. He was the truth standing right there. And then at last came two false witnesses. And the false witnesses said, he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll restore it again." They were talking about a building. Christ was talking about his body. He did say those things. Folks, what you interpret as truth may not be truth. What you may be following as truth may not be truth. But Christ was silent all through this because he has set his face like a flint. Verse 63. High priest says, "What did God say here?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I order you. I want you to tell me. Tell us all who you really are." He said, "I adjure thee by the living God." Well, they missed the point. He's standing right in front of them. We should be the ones holding our peace before God, not Christ holding our peace in front of us. "That thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." In the next verse he says, "You'll see the Son of Man coming in glory." And they went nuts and they said, "We heard blasphemy!" No, it's truth. Not what you think is truth, but truth is truth, regardless of what.
Amen.
But Christ was silent. He was silent when he was arrested, basically. He said, why did he come betray me with a kiss? Why did he come out after me as a common thief? I've done anything wrong. First mock trial. He was falsely accused, but he held his peace. He was silent when his followers failed him. You know, one form of oppression that we get is when we get people to promise they're going to do something for us and then they back out. How's that make you feel? Probably gets us very upset, right? Discouraged, disappointed. Christ had already said, let them go. They've done nothing wrong. And we see in the John account that they did. But everybody wrote, they forsook him and fled. In verse 56 of Matthew chapter 26, it says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Zechariah said, smite the shepherd, and all the sheep will be scattered. Then all disciples forsook him and fled. Even John Mark lost his clothes because they were trying to get out of there. And folks, oppression makes us want to defend ourselves. Oppression makes us want to run away. Christ didn't do that. He held his peace. He kept silent. Peter denied him three times. We won't go into detail about this, but Peter is the one who said, I'll die for you. I'll do all this for you. And Christ said, before this day's out, you're going to deny me three times. Later on in the end of Matthew 26, verses 74 and 75, it says, then began he to curse and to swear. This is the third time he was asked. Saying, I know not the man. What would you say to save your skin? Christ said nothing. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. How many times have we broken promises with God? And God keeps his silence, waiting patiently to see if we would come back. And we don't. Folks, our broken promises, God causes us to weep. Don't think of God's silence as being condoning of the action. Now, the issue is what do you do with this? You know, sometimes when we get oppressed and say it's not worth it anymore, run away. Peter didn't do that. Peter gets it. And this morning I want you to get it. I want you to get it. Peter's later description of the silent Savior is found in the book that we're studying on Wednesday nights now. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, it says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. See, Peter saw the example of Christ. This morning we all need to see the example of Christ. When he suffered, he threatened not. How many of you said, well, I don't get even with that person? No, Christ will do righteous judgment. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So Peter learned. Are we going to learn this morning? But that's not all. Christ was silent, basically, when he was arrested. He didn't defend himself. He was silent in the first trial. He was silent when everybody left him. He was silent before Pilate. Pilate had a one-on-one encounter with Christ. Because the Jews wouldn't go into the judgment hall because it was the high day. They wanted to be defiled. As Christ is standing before Pilate, Matthew 27, verse 14, he says, he answered him not to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. See, Pilate encountered someone he'd never seen before, acting like someone never acted before. What did Pilate say? He says, I found no fault in this man. And he tried to get him released. But that wasn't the case. Because Christ was going to get crucified. As we study this verse this morning, how are we when we are oppressed? Last couple of weeks we talked to the kids about the Beatitudes. But Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Isaiah saw it. Peter saw it and got it. Will you get this morning? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, the last part of this, it says, but if, when you do well for God and suffer for it, ye take it what? Patiently. This is acceptable with God. You know why Christ had to be silent? Because that was acceptable with God. So Christ was silent when oppressed. Christ was silent when he was afflicted. You know, we cry over paper cuts. We yell when someone hits us. When we have pain, we go, ouch. And we try to defend ourselves, but Christ was silent when he was scourged. Matthew 27, verse 26, it says, then released he Barabbas unto him. And we had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Here's some things that you need to understand. When the crowd made the choice for Barabbas, from that point on, Christ was treated as a criminal. He was scourged because that was the way the Romans did it. They scourged you and then they killed you. And he endured this. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was silenced when mocked by the soldiers. Matthew 27, verses 29 through 31, it says, and when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee to him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. All through this, Christ didn't say anything. When the crown of thorns was put on his head and the reed given to him, when people were mocking him and saying, King, it is true. He is the King of the Jews. And I would not want to be those Roman soldiers when they passed into eternity and they stood before Christ and they saw him. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I would not want to be the one that spit on him. And folks, look at our actions. That song this morning was appropriate. Do we do things that put Christ on the cross? More nails in his hand. Struck him. The King of Glory. And then they gambled for his raiment. That was prophesied too. Psalm 22, verse 18 says, they put part of my garments among them and cast lot upon my vesture. That last garment had no seam in it. And so they didn't want to rip it up, so they gambled for it. See, here's the point. You'll prove Scripture true from your disobedience or your obedience. But you need to follow God and be obedient to Him. Christ has set His face like a flint. He was silently mocked by the soldiers. He was silently mocked by the crowd. That was even prophesied in Psalm. Matthew 27, verses 39 and 41, it says, and when they passed by, reviled Him, wagging their heads, saying, see, we told you you were a king. And saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself! If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Oh no! They needed him to stay on the cross to the bitter end. It's their redemption that they were ignorant of. It's their salvation that they didn't want. It was him going to be the king of everything again. They rejected him. It says, likewise also, the chief priest mocking him with the scribes and elders said, hey, he saved others, let him save himself. Oh, folks, don't be part of that crowd that denies Christ. Yet Christ was silenced when he was mocked. You know what we need? We need to do what Paul talked about with Christ and his crucifixion. Paul described his silence in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 8. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, we need the mind of Christ. We need not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to put off the old man and put on the new man. We need the mind of Christ. We need to be silent when oppressed to glorify God. When we're afflicted, we need to look at Christ's example and follow him. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, being found in the place that God had put him. Us, we need to be found in the place that God has put us. We need to have the mind of Christ, and we need to do what Christ wants us to do. He humbled himself. Not me! Christ said, I will go. Remember in the garden, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done, Heavenly Father. And became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Christ was silent when he was afflicted. And we need to understand what happens when we're afflicted. Okay? What an example that we have in Christ. And we need to have his mind. Christ was the silent lamb. As a lamb to the slaughter. See, Isaiah now tilts back to Exodus chapter 12 and the very first Passover. And the last plague was the death angel, the striking of the firstborn. And what the entire nation of Israel needed to do is every family had to take a lamb, a male without spot of the first year, and watch it and see if it was without blemish. Then, on the 14th day, they killed it. And they took the blood and they put it on the lintel over top the door. And they put it on the doorpost, on the side of the door, in the exact same fashion that Christ's blood would be spilt from the cross. When the death angel came, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord, when the death angel came, he passed over them, and everyone in the house was saved. Oh, folks, the blood of Christ cleanses us. It was the Lamb that brought deliverance from Egypt. It was the Lamb that brought freedom from oppression. It was the Lamb that rescued them from their affliction. See, God died, Christ died on the cross to take away our oppression of sin. Christ died on the cross to take away our affliction of sin. Isaiah also looks forward to the Lamb of God. Paul writes about it to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Now when we do the Lord's Supper Wednesday night, we're going to have a time of reflection and examining ourselves, because you don't want to take it unworthily. Not recognizing the blood and body of Christ. As ye are unleavened. When we stand before God right now, we're justified. It says, for we never sin because Christ's blood covers us. It says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ was dying on the cross at the very same time that the priests were slaying Passover lambs in the temple for those that came to Jerusalem. He shed his blood. He became sin for us at the very same time. Christ is our Passover. He was sacrificed for us.
Amen.
That is truth. And you need to receive the truth. In the beginning of Christ's ministry, John the Baptist proclaimed, who was prophesied in Isaiah also. John's out there preaching, and he sees Jesus. Next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, here's a point. He didn't say, this is King Jesus. He didn't say, this is God in the flesh. He didn't say, this is the worker of miracles. He said this, behold, look at Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's why Christ came to earth. He came to earth to die for your sins. Amen. So you could have salvation. That's the truth. Are you going to receive it? You know, we look at these verses. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Mm-hmm. That's what God the Father did for you through Christ the Son. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Christ came to heal your sin problem. Verse 4, surely, truly, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Christ is meeting you where you are. He did all this for you to get you out of the condition that you're in. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected of men. We've seen that. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, yet he opened not his mouth. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And Isaiah starts off this chapter with this. Who hath believed our report? You've heard for the last several weeks what Christ did for us from the eyes of Isaiah. What are we going to do? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is Christ. He died on the cross for you and for me. As we close, are you moved by the silence of the Lamb? Have you been moved by what Christ went through for your redemption? The silent Savior invites you to trust Him and to be free. But will you come in faith to the oppressed and afflicted one today and find the peace that only God can give? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. Father, see if there's any wicked way in us. And Father, help us, Lord, to confess that to you. Lord, for those that may not know you as Savior, Lord, today I pray that this will be the day of their salvation, that they will realize that you died on the cross for their sins. You took the death penalty for their sins. You left their sins in the grave when you rose again. And you sit on the right hand of God, offering forgiveness of sins and eternal life, because you are life. Help us to understand the truth of your word today, and help us to follow it. We ask these things in Jesus' name.